The United Nations, the seat of sinister power. Let's begin with the beginning of the UN. That sounds like a good place to start. It started out as sort of a continuation of the failed League of Nations in October of 1945. This was mainly brought about by the efforts of Franklin D. Roosevelt. The main goal of the organization is world peace. Initially, there were 51 members, but that has grown to its present 193 members. The UN has six main parts to it, which are the General Assembly, the Security Council, the Economic and Social Council, the Secretariat, the International Court of Justice, and the Inactive Trustees Council. The UN agencies are the World Health Organization, the World Bank, UNESCO, UNICEF, and the World Food Program. It is through these agencies that it gets much of its work done. The property on which the UN building stands in Manhattan, New York, has what is called extraterritorial status. That means it is an area set aside with diplomatic immunity, which means it is exempt from local law. The United States pays for about 20% of the total cost of running the UN. In the year 2014, this amounted to approximately $769 billion total from all U.S. federal agencies. The official colors of the UN flag are white and blue. The flag design is rather similar to the old symbol of the Soviet Union that hung in the Congress of the Soviets during the Cold War, with two olive branches arching upward from a lower center point. All member nations have one vote. However, the communist countries or socialist countries have been known to vote as a unified bloc and therefore continue to carry a lot of voting weight in the general functions of the UN. This voting power seems to give a general direction to much of what goes on at the UN. Also, the influence of the Vatican cannot be ignored. In the year 2004, the Vatican was granted permanent observer status at the UN. This gives them most of the rights of regular members, except for the right to vote. This was their choice. With 1.2 billion Roman Catholics in the world, the Vatican has much influence without even needing a vote. The large bloc of Muslim nations also carry the day in some voting situations, which are often detrimental to Christianity. The Muslim nations use the General Assembly's platform to often condemn Israel. The United States retains veto power over any resolution. This veto power can also be exerted by four other countries, including Russia and Communist China. Much can be said about the list of failures of the UN. The list of accomplishments seems to be much shorter in comparison with the many total failures at critical times. We're now going to turn our attention to the flaws in the organization that may be the cause of some of these failures. Let us begin by looking at the general philosophy that governs the UN. Overall, in general, there is an obvious premise that exists that people have no right of self-government. The replacement of self-government and nations by the UN is called regions of influence. These regions can be grouped in various ways, but usually they are grouped economically, politically, or geographically. Language use can determine a nation or region. It is easier to break a nation down to form a region if its language is corrupted or replaced. The region replacement premise is based on the original function of the UN organization, that of peacekeeping. This original function appears to be the main flaw in the excuse for the UN's existence. Putting it simply, a operational premise used is that in order for there to be peace, differences and boundaries must either be minimized or eliminated. There are many obvious results of this premise's function. An earth with no boundaries is envisioned. Hence, mass immigration can actually be used as a good thing. In reality, mass immigration, such as seen in the Syrian refugee crisis of 2015 and the mass immigration of Hispanics into the United States, these are generally the cause of many tensions and social breakdowns in the established nation that serves as the receiver nation. The Roman Catholic Church has had much influence in this area and has proven itself to be only a fair weather friend to the democratic republics, but lends much support and favoritism to socialist countries like Cuba, Mexico, and many South American countries. In America, they encourage Hispanics to illegally cross the U.S. border and give refuge to those who participate in such. This is an effort to change and govern the political as well as the theological perspective of a once evangelical nation. A tenet of the Jesuits is to control and finally eliminate evangelical and Protestant governments. Those form of governments, from the Jesuit point of view, are apostate. The present Pope is a Jesuit. The Vatican has also made the decision to accept Middle East refugees into Italy. Often this involves a refugee being rescued from a raft in the Mediterranean. From Italy, the Muslim refugees can move up into the heartland of Europe. Now, this is known as the silent invasion by the Muslims. And it's much easier to invade without using guns. And this is strongly encouraged by their spiritual leaders. Now, often you'll see in the newspaper or on the news, on television, or on the internet, there is a photo given by the press of, usually it's a picture of a young man holding a toddler, a young refugee. Male refugee holding a toddler, or it could be of a woman, a Muslim woman holding a toddler. Now, this photo, often repeated in the press, is to excite Christian compassion. This is only a trick. They intend to use our softness of compassion, what they view as our softness of compassion, as an instrument of our own destruction. Since all the refugees' records are either lost, destroyed, or falsified, no one really knows who is who in such a situation. In reality, many of the children being held are not even being held by a parent, but a complete stranger. This may sound harsh, and it probably is, but in reality, a Muslim woman holding a child may as well be holding a suicide bomb, since all this is intended to destroy the nations that receive them. There is no doubt that many of the children who have been brought into Europe have been kidnapped. Should we have compassion for the children's sake? In reality, we should have compassion for our own children who must either live under new, degraded circumstances because of the refugees, or who may die in one of their future attacks. The Muslims know that this little child, what this little child really pictures, it really pictures the future of jihad. The Pope desires to bring Muslims into Europe with the misguided idea of bringing Islam closer to Christianity. Now, this technique has been historically used by the Roman Catholics. It is usually evidenced by the Catholic Church by them adopting some part of the foreign religion in its belief and practice. Now, this has been historically seen in many ways, such as in the adoption of holidays such as Easter and the Christmas traditions, and that incorporate many heathen traditions. Now, this is done to make Catholicism more acceptable to the hearts of those they hope to enslave. In some Roman Catholic churches, little statues of Buddha can be found. The modern 21st century Roman Catholic Church has drifted into what is called theosophy. Theosophy has grown in popularity around the world and has been adequately expounded by the author Alice Bailey in her many books. Yoga, silent meditation, as well as New Age philosophy have had strong influence in the UN, as evidenced by their meditation room. Yoga and meditation techniques can be found as accepted in many evangelical and Protestant churches. Now, the yoga and their meditation techniques, even though they're found in evangelical and Protestant churches, came from mystic religions of Tibet and India, not from Christianity. Those type of things have no place in a real Christian church. Another premise used by the UN is that of unity. People are viewed as the same everywhere and should share things in common. The individual is no longer important in comparison to that of the community, region, and that of the world. World peace, according to this train of thought, involves the world equally sharing all resources. This, therefore, would include a world redistribution of wealth. Private property is viewed as an evil to be avoided, since not all can own property, and it is therefore deemed unfair. Amassing any possessions or wealth, including land ownership, is highly discouraged. Progressive politicians, which are today standing boldly up as socialists, seek to destroy those of wealth by outrageous taxes. Further, world unity involves many things: common finances, common laws, common language, common values. Common values are governed by what would have to be considered a common religion, or in secular terminology, a common philosophy. All of this should start to sound familiar to the informed listener. The most used word in all this is the word common. We see that the general practice and methodology of the UN is that of communism. To make it more palatable, socialism, humanism, humanitarianism, or progressivism is often used in the place of what is considered by some the scare word of communism. Instead of being red, they can rather be described as pink, such as the socialist democracies of South America. This means that they are totally socialist, but the people are given the chance to vote. Doesn't say that the elections are free from corruption or the ballots are being counted correctly. Now, because of this, the policies handed down by the UN, for the most part, are not particularly beneficial to capitalist republics such as the United States, or any other of what is usually called the industrialized free world. This can be easily seen in the following quote. Quote, "Isn't the only hope for the planet that the industrialized civilizations collapse? Isn't it our responsibility to bring that about?" End quote. Now, that's a quote by a Maurice Strong, who is the founder of the UN Environment Program. One such existing U.S. policy or plan that is presently adhered to and is being promoted is called Agenda 21. The name simply means that it is the agenda of the UN for the 21st century. The agenda, in effect, results in much crushing regulation of the industrialized capitalist world. This would put the free industrialized world at a disadvantage financially for the next century. For the supposed purpose of equalizing world economies and supposedly to care for the world environment. This is done in all participating countries of the UN agenda. The United States is a participating party. In many things, Communist China is not officially participating. That means that all products and industry in the United States has to meet certain standards in order to be sold abroad, or even for the business to stay afloat. The main crushing regulations are usually concerning the environment, the so-called carbon footprint, as well as the mandated health regulations. This definitely gives unfair advantage to those countries that don't agree to participate in the agenda. Several present presidential candidates extensively use the vocabulary of the UN agenda. Some key talking points are found in the UN vocabulary words are sustainability, sustainable development, birth control or population management, human rights, sexual rights, reproductive rights, family planning, climate change, human impact, carbon footprint, transparency, global, and core curriculum. Yes, core curriculum in education is a UN goal and part of Agenda 21 for the world. The results of Agenda 21 has, for the most part, been seen in governmental overreach, overregulation, increased costs, and loss of individual rights. And let's add to that the loss of states' rights as well as the loss of private property. The idea seems to be that if the UN can control the resources of a nation, they can control its people and therefore bring peace. It must be remembered in regard to this that powerless people cannot wage war. A general plan in use is to depopulate the rural areas, the countryside areas, by putting the individual farmer out of business. Now, this would force people into urban areas for employment, and this would form mega cities. The land, therefore, in the country, would be farmed by government-controlled corporate farms. The food supply would therefore be under the control of the government. Now, this is a plan for the 21st century. However, the program has been used in the past in communist China and in Russia. And now this is slowly being implemented in the United States. It is also must be remembered that climate control must of necessity be population control. Only a large population can produce an unacceptable carbon footprint. This idea hides behind much of the climate change rhetoric coming from the rich progressives who seek power. Therefore, depopulation produces a better climate, as seen in this Wildlands Project quote. This is a direct quote from the Wildlands Project. Quote, humanity must drastically scale down its industrial activities on Earth, change its consumption lifestyles, stabilize and then reduce the size of the human population by humane means, and protect and restore wild ecosystems and the remaining wildlife on the planet. End quote. Wildlands Project. Now this would mean the massive confiscation of land set aside for national parks and areas that cannot be used by the individual or purposed by the individual, but given over to the Agenda 21 type project here in the United States. And you'll see, if you take a look, that this is this land confiscation is going on, confiscation and control is going on today. The value system of ethics, if we can call it that, that influences much of the UN can probably be described best as previously mentioned, as theosophy. Now, this is profoundly seen in the meditation room at the UN. And this room was designed by Mr. Dag Hammarskjöld. In this room, there is a great iron block that serves as the room's altar. And it has this dedication to it by Mr. Hammarskjöld himself. It says, quote, "Dedicated to the God whom man worships under many names and in many forms," end quote. Now, apparently, Mr. Hammarskjöld did not realize that the God of the Bible is not the same God that the Muslims worship. Now, since the UN deals with many nations, it therefore deals with many value systems that are based in the nation's religions. Theosophy seeks to be all-inclusive, uniting, by cutting all theological principles down to what they consider to be bare basics. These basics are found in man, deep inside his soul, and these basics are found in his needs. Hence, the emphasis on quiet meditation and introspection. The world-accepted moment of silence is a brief pause when an individual is supposed to silently pray to his own God, or whoever or whatever that may be. The UN meditation room looks something like something brought forth from the age of Aquarius, with the symbols of power exhibited in a mural of triangles and pyramids. It looks nothing like a church. Now, this is found in the UN building. Let's bring this to a conclusion. We can see our nation being strongly influenced by the UN, willingly, but for the most part, unknowingly by the general population. Now, we willingly are supporting, we are willingly supporting participants by this ignorance for the most part. We support this organization with billions of dollars each year through our taxes. And this is to our own detriment. According to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 7, we are not to be partakers of other men's sins. Ephesians chapter 5, 7. We are not to be partakers or join in other men's sins. We're not to join them in their sins. We are not to help them out in their sin. If we would take the money used to support the UN and apply it to real national needs, such as the payment of the national debt, for example, we would see a significant return for our money instead of benefiting other nations who seek our destruction. The Bible tells us not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. So we should not be in agreement with the Muslim nations, the communist nations, who are against Christ, against Christianity, or who are just plain atheistic. There's no reason for the United States to continue to support such a left-wing, socialist, spiritually corrupt organization. The UN certainly is not an organization with Christian values, but instead appears as a center of deep spiritual darkness with evil, undermining intentions toward the church. In reality, there is no peace until a person rests in Jesus Christ for his salvation. Furthermore, the world will know no peace until Christ returns for us. An organization such as the UN can only be used in the future by a false universal Christ. This is not the same as Jesus Christ our Savior. This is somebody who will rise up and pretend to be the leader of the world, bringing peace, using a peace organization, and enforcing his laws and ways. Now this universal Christ will rise to deceive many. And beyond all that, the UN has no real use or purpose. Let's close with a word of prayer. Gracious Father, we ask now that you'll be with us. Cause us to be strong in your word. Help us to study your word. And may your kingdom be protected. We ask that you'll advance your cause and your love. We pray that you'll watch over each one of us, and may we be each one aware of what is going on in this world. We pray that you'll cause us not to be of this world, but of your heavenly kingdom. Have our minds stayed upon thee. For it is in thy name and for thy sake we pray. Amen.